fire in cheek. For my life with songs of grief, with the yellow fear and fearless eyes. For all the times I've tried.
Welcome to Court Appointed, Two Dudes' Perspective on Legal Frivolity. I'm your co-host, Michael Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I'm just a dude.
This podcast is to give you legal perspective on current topics and also to talk about any kind of questions that you might have or send in to us. We're going to try to educate a little bit and entertain you a lot.
If you will, if you're familiar with the podcast Sawbones, this could be the legal version of that, where we have the law and a layman, or a Justin, whichever you prefer.
So please remember, for the purpose of this podcast, it's informative and entertaining, strictly for entertainment purposes only. Nothing in here should be taken as legal advice. Our goal is to maybe educate you a little bit.
Do not try this at home, kiddies.
Use this information to win bar trivia.
Let's do something current. Okay. What's current?
Well, there's nothing more current right now than Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go!
Pokemon is causing lots of issues with regards to legal issues. None more so pressing than probably trespassing.
How does Pokemon Go lead to trespassing?
Well, what happens is people are using their phone. Do you know how Pokemon Go works at all?
I've seen people doing it, running around the park, looking at their phone, and understand they're catching cartoon monsters, but no, I do not have that app, and I don't do that, and I never played Pokemon, so I don't really even know what a Pokemon is.
Well, the purpose of Pokemon Go, if it has a purpose, I guess you could say, is to capture the different cartoon monsters, like you said. But the way you do it with your phone is it's called augmented reality, and what the phone is it kind of displays where these different Pokemon are virtually, and it gives you kind of a roadmap to try to find where they are, and they appear randomly throughout different places.
And this is strictly a children's game, right?
Well, no. No? I'm playing it. I'm not a child.
Oh, well, that's true. And the only people I've seen running around the park playing are all adults. What's up with that?
It's a very popular game. It's a lot of fun. The one thing that really drew me to it was the fact that there's a lot of Pokestops are historical markers. So there might be some sort of like sculpture or something like that that I've walked past 100 times and never really paid much attention to.
Oh, so it's an educational application, huh?
Somewhat.
Uh-huh. That sounds a little bit to me like those guys that claim to get Playboy just for the articles. I think you're just there grabbing Pokemans.
The articles are getting Playboy. So I've been told. So these Pokemon Go, they're supposedly randomly spawned, and a lot of times they're spawned in public places like parks and things like that.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, nothing's obviously wrong with that, because you're allowed in public parks as long as you're there, you know, during the daylight if they have like curfews or things like that. But a lot of these Pokemon are being spawned in people's backyards, which can lead to some issues.
So that's where the trespassing comes in.
Exactly. People are chasing Pokemon into people's backyards.
I read an article the other day about that down in Florida. Two dudes, like 18 and 19 years old, drove up some guy's driveway at 1:30 in the morning chasing Pokemans. And the guy that owned the house, he came out and confronted these guys. And they're like, "We're just catching Pokemans." The guy came out of the house, had a gun, though, and took exception to that and fired at him to run him off his property. And that's probably not a good situation now. Is that who was wrong there?
Well, obviously the guy that shot his gun at the people who were trying to catch Pokemon.
They're in his yard at 1:30 in the morning. What would you do?
Well, I don't think it's prudent to use deadly force to shoot at somebody when they're trying to capture some Pokemon.
Well, maybe that was just their story.
Well, the thing is about Florida, well, you never know. That could be a good a good way to... Oh, just here catching Pokemon.
Invite us in. Show me where your safe is.
This mask I have and this...
these ropes and handcuffs in the back. Pay no attention to them. They're for Pokemans.
I was trying to describe what the Hamburglar looked like his costume, like my mask and my hat and my striped shirt. No. Well, I think you got to take into account actually where you are where you're going to be. You have to have a common sense when you're trying to catch Pokemon.
Oh, common sense. Well, forget that. We're playing a game. Common sense goes out the window. We've got to do whatever it takes to get that next cartoon monster.
Well, I mean, in Florida, a lot of people call it the Sunshine State, but its unofficial nickname is the Gunshine State because people are so into guns down there a lot of times. So, I mean, you don't want a place like that, especially I think it was kind of rural, a rural area. I don't think you want to be wandering around trying to catch Pokemon.
Take extra caution in Florida when hunting Pokemans when you go into people's yards.
Florida has some pretty pretty strict protection of personal space type laws on the books. They have what's called like the Castle Doctrine, and basically kind of the Stand Your Ground law.
Oh, the Castle Doctrine. That's taken from the TV show? Castle?
TV show Castle? No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? No, where I get most of my legal knowledge is from the TV. Yeah. Law and Order. Dun, dun.
Law and Order, JD.
Yeah, Barney Miller.
No, the Castle Doctrine, I think, is based off of the fact from like medieval times when you had your castle and you had a right to defend it. You know, people were storming your ramparts and you were...
People were ramming your parts, and so you had the right to get medieval on them? Is that what you're saying?
No. No, I think it's like your home is your castle, so you have a right to defend yourself. If you're inside your home, it's your castle, and nobody should be coming in there for any nefarious purposes.
But in Florida, they're a little more liberal with that, and if they're anywhere in your yard, then you can just... They're fair game.
Well, there's a legal term, and it's called curtilage.
Curtilage.
Do you know what curtilage means?
Yeah, it's that stuff that's missing in my knees that makes me walk funny now.
No, that's cartilage.
Oh.
Curtilage is what is defined as the area that's kind of immediately around your house. So think in like, you know, your fenced in yard area like that. That's called your curtilage.
Now, is it only if it's fenced in or is it just the area around your house?
Well, it's generally defined as the area around your house, but it's usually denoted by having a fenced in area. Mm-hmm. So it's supposed to be like the media area around your house.
So if you want to shoot Pokemon hunters on your curtilage, put a fence up. Is that what you're advising me, counselor?
Yeah. And that's why we have a disclaimer at the beginning of the show.
We don't encourage violence. We only aid in it. No.
No. Yeah. So no, I would not advise shooting Pokemon hunters in your front yard.
Even if they're in your curtilage.
Even if they're in your curtilage.
Okay.
I mean, call the police.
All right. Now, what will the police do? I mean, if some Pokemon hunter's in your front yard and it's 1:30 in the morning, you call the police, what are the police going to do? I got guys here hunting Pokemans. Come get them.
Well, it depends on which state you're in, obviously. If it's posted as no trespassing, if you have a no trespassing sign up, then they would be deemed to be knowingly trespassing on your property. So they could be arrested because most states define trespass as knowingly going into someone else's property. That knowingly, they call that like the mental element of a crime. There's two different things when you have a crime. There's what's called mens rea and actus reus. So do you know what either of those mean, Tommy?
No idea. Mens reus and actus reus.
Yes.
Well, the mens reus, that's if your men's in the front yard.
Mens rea means basically the mental capacity to commit the crime.
Oh.
And so that trespass generally has a mental capacity to commit the crime. So you have to knowingly do it. So that's why if there's a trespass sign, then you have the knowledge that you are trespassing. So.
Well, none of these Pokemon guys could ever be indicted then.
Why is that?
Because they're obviously out of their mind hunting Pokemans. That's all that's important. They don't notice whether they're on somebody else's property or not. I mean, just because you're standing on somebody's front porch, they didn't have a sign up that said no trespassing. So how did you know?
I'll tell you what, when you see a Pikachu pop up and you know you're near it.
They are peeking at you again.
You go into a bit of a frenzy trying to catch it.
I guess so. That could lead to problems. So you're saying people have to exercise common sense, but that is something that is in very short supply these days.
Yeah, there's a lack of common sense around. One interesting thing that when you're talking about kind of using deadly force to defend your property, and one of my favorite topics, it was always my favorite topic in law school, was what's called a spring gun.
A spring gun?
Yeah, do you know what a spring gun is?
A gun that you can only use in March, April, and May?
I swear, when I ask you these questions, I I can never even fathom what you're going to respond when you say.
No, I just try to apply logic to the situation.
Yeah, well, do you know what an autumn gun is?
An autumn gun? You know what I'm going to say.
I just made that up.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe there is such a thing. The spring gun is basically a gun that people use to defend their property when they're not home. So a lot of times they'll tie like a string to the trigger to the door. So if somebody opens the door, the gun will go off and shoot them.
Oh, I saw a real life case of that. It was on an episode of Roadrunner, and Wile E. Coyote was doing it to try to catch the Roadrunner. It always backfires, though. He never gets the Roadrunner.
You can laugh all you want about these things with comparing to cartoons and whatnot, but a lot of law school cases seem to remind me of different cartoons I watched growing up, because they're used to illustrate the extremes to kind of, you know, the different things that are allowed. So, I mean, yeah, it's totally a Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote type thing, or Tom and Jerry. So, but spring guns, you're not allowed to use deadly force to defend just property. So, and that's why they use that to illustrate it, because the spring gun is something you have when no one's home. So you're using deadly force to defend just property. But I always thought spring guns were kind of interesting. I always thought I'd open up maybe a boutique law firm that only dealt with explicitly spring gun litigation. That'd be kind of fun.
Is there enough cases out there to build a practice on spring guns?
I don't think so. I think I would probably not be a very successful lawyer if I only dealt with spring guns.
But you just have an interest in them. So you could be like the men's hair club guy.
Yeah.
Not only do I defend you, but I put them up myself.
I think my interest in it's based off of watching old Charles Bronson Death Wish movies with my mom when I was growing up, because Charles Bronson was always up against a lot of bad dudes, and he would always he'd rig his house with all kinds of gadgets to help him get the advantage against.
Well, that's okay, isn't it? If a bunch of bad dudes are coming at you, that you have spring guns to help yourself out.
Yeah, well, probably so. Yeah, I mean, if they're invading your house and your spring guns all set up,
and if you're Charles Bronson or Clint Eastwood, it's always legal. You know, make my day.
Well, it's interesting you say make my day, because that there's also a lot of laws that deal with self-defense called make my day laws. And they started coming into effect about the same time that Dirty Harry and Clint Eastwood were pretty popular. So a lot of laws were called make my day laws, where people, shoot people for
to make their day,
to make their day, I guess. I don't know. So
what you're saying is that these laws were developed at about the same time as when those shows came out. And they were increasing your ability to defend your property or yourself or something like that. And right. So that's where they picked that up.
Right. And, it's definitely not to use deadly force to defend your property. It's deadly force to defend yourself if you're in the apprehension of fear.
So did they just expand what is you're into fear for your life or something like that? As the guy doesn't have to have you in your house on the ground getting ready to kill you. If he's coming in your front door, that's proof enough.
Yeah, pretty much. It's been expanded in a lot of places. So, if it's some guys coming in your house and you're standing there with a gun, you tell him to leave. I don't even think a lot of places I don't even think have to tell him to leave. I think just it's imputed that he's there for nefarious purposes. So,
well, the thing that always gets me is the ones you read about where the criminal came into somebody's house and the guy did have a gun and shot him, and then the criminal turned around and sued the guy for shooting him when he was in there. You shouldn't have been in somebody else's house in the middle of the night in the first place.
I think I'd like to see a cite to that case. I'm not quite believing.
Oh, you read those things all the time. It's an outrage. Outrage, I tell you.
I don't think that ever actually happened.
Well, I've read articles such as that.
And when you were reading the articles in Playboy?
No, not those articles.
One thing I know that my friends and I did when we were younger in high school that we always thought was a lot of fun was pool hopping. So basically what we would do is we would trespass into somebody's backyard, basically jump their fence, and just jump in their pool, then just immediately get out and then run away and laugh, jump in our car all wet. I don't know why we did that, but we thought it was a lot of fun.
That was fun?
Yeah. We didn't have Pokemon Go, so we had to invent our own fun.
And so he jumped in people's pools. No, I don't even think I remember that many people having pools to be able to do that. About my only trespassing I can remember is when I was 16, I had to run in with the federal government. That was not fun. But I think the statute of limitations has run out. I lived in Martinsburg, West Virginia, and Skip, Buzzy, and Jeff were with me. I know my wife and kids don't think Skip, Buzzy, and Jeff really existed. They just think, oh, that's one of those Skip, Buzzy, Jeff stories. But we were out driving around at night, four 16-year-old kids looking for somewhere to hang out, and there was a federal sign that said, do not enter. And it was all rusty and old and everything, and we didn't pay any attention to it. So I took my 68 Pontiac Tempest and just pushed the gates open there, breaking the chain with my indestructible nose on my car. Because in those days, they made cars with real metal, and the commercial had somebody with a sledgehammer hitting the front of the bumper because it was indestructible. And so now they're just metal and plastic and rubber.
Those are the kind of ads that sold cars back then?
Yeah, people hitting cars with sledgehammers. You knew it was a good car when a guy could hit it with a sledgehammer. So we drove on up the road saying, hey, man, we'll find something. It'd be an abandoned base or something. We might find old buildings to look at. And we didn't get very far up that hill. It was just a single lane winding road at the side of a hill. And all of a sudden we were hit with spotlights and there was U.S. soldiers with automatic weapons around us. And we're like, ooh, this is not a good idea. And they came up to the car and they said, you got to get out of here right now. And I said, well, let me turn around. He said, no, you back down the hill. And so I got a 16-year-old driver backing down a one-lane road on the side of a mountain. But I made it down and back out the gate. And we knew not to ever assume anything again.
Well, I'm sure Skip, Buzzy, and Jeff could help give you directions on how to back down since they were in the car with you, right?
Oh, man, they were in the floor by then. That was a scary situation. What we didn't know is that was a bunker to fly the president to in case of nuclear attack. It was one of the sites that they could possibly take him to. And I think it's been decommissioned since then, but in that time it was still active. And I guess they just wanted it to look like it was abandoned.
Well, see, that's one of those things that going back through the facts of your story, you said you saw a sign that said no trespassing there.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have had knowledge that you weren't supposed to go there.
Yes. But I had an airtight case for why I was innocent.
Why is that?
Ignorance of the law. Anybody would have vowed for me.
Vouched.
Yeah, they would have done that too. They'd have vouched for me that I would have ignorant to have done something like that.
Well, one thing in the law that sometimes is a defense for trespass, especially for younger people, is what's called an attractive nuisance. Do you know what an attractive nuisance is?
A good looking person that's annoying.
No, an attractive nuisance is something that you have on your property that would make children want to come on your property that could potentially be dangerous. So the classic example is usually like, you know, a large pile of rocks that children might like to climb on. Then
a large pile of rocks is an attractive nuisance
or a sinkhole. I don't know. Things that kids might find interesting.
So. A large pile of rocks is going to attract them to your yard, and then what? They're allowed to trespass?
Well, no, they would. You're basically luring them onto your property to play on these things. Also, like, you know, I mean, things like a trampoline or a swimming pool could actually even be an attractive nuisance as well. So,
well, I guess that's why swimming pools, there's laws or insurance reasons you have to put a fence up around them.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a public policy type thing that you don't want people just kind of walking along, wandering in, and falling in a pool. So you put up a fence, and that way they make sure they don't come in.
Especially if they're chasing Pokemans around. That'll keep them out of your pool, huh?
Do you remember the story maybe 15 or 20 years ago about the deer that jumped in Mom and Dad's pool?
Oh, yeah. It was a liner pool, too, and that deer tore the liner up.
Yeah, I forget. It was one of our family members said they were standing there in the backyard, and they saw a deer. It came charging through the field. Came running right at the fence, leapt over the fence, took two hops, and went straight into the pool. And so even though it was within the curtilage of our house and we're in West Virginia, my family elected not to shoot it. we don't always just shoot deer here in West Virginia. And they called the fire department. And so the fire department came and extracted the deer from the pool.
And that deer was standing in the pool when he saw the fireman pull up. He said, oh, no, I'm hosed. And we said, don't worry, buck up. He said, oh, dear.
I I got to say that I never noticed how many dad jokes you spew until I heard it mentioned on Still Buffering. And then I was like, yeah, I guess he does. But yeah, it's like every 10 things out of your mouth is a dad joke.
Did you know that deer choirs never sing in harmony? They only sing in venison. Think about it. You'll get it.
Once the fire department had extracted the deer from the pool, they pulled it out and it jumped over the fence and ran off and was never to be seen again. So
that's good. He's off chasing Pokemans today.
Probably. So talking about attractive nuisances, like I had said that basically lures children into your property to trespass. One interesting thing that Pokemon Go has is what's called lures. And you put these on the different Pokestops, and they're supposed to attract the Pokemon to this location so you can capture them. So I actually saw in the news where some criminals set up Pokemon lures at Pokestops in the middle of the night and lured people there to rob them.
That's unbelievable. So people are standing around at the park, and they're luring people with Pokemons?
Well, I don't think they're luring the people. The purpose of the lure is to lure the Pokemon, and the people just come.
There's people in the park luring. I'm going to advise kids to stay away from them. That doesn't sound good at all. You tell people, I was at the park, and I was luring them, and what do these lures look like?
Well, they're on the map, they're like these sparkly pink things.
Some man's putting sparkly pink things out at the park. You got to steer clear of somebody like that.
I don't know, man. If that's where the Pokemon are, you got to go where the Pokemon are.
Oh, that sounds like that. There was one girl I read that was tracking her Pokemon and found a dead body. That's how you find them. There was lures there. That was the last Pokemon hunters who that dead body was, the last one that came there.
She was a store, and one of the markers that says, do not hunt Pokemon here.
Oh, man. I don't think that was a trespassing penalty there, that it was just somebody that came upon them. But
I think she was walking along a river, because if you're near a body of water, you can catch like a water-based Pokemon. So she was hunting water-based Pokemon and found a dead body.
Well, that sounds like the first person was walking too close to the body of water and became that dead body, though.
Quite possibly.
Well, that sounds like that TV show they used to have, to catch a pervert, or
to catch a predator.
That's it. That's a P word.
It's a great show
where they lure the guy in posing like they're teenage girls and lure the guy in, and he always comes up and acts like, oh no, I didn't mean any harm. I was just going to come help her do her homework.
The best part is when the guy comes out, they reveal that they're on camera. He goes, well, there's something you should know. I'm Chris Hansen. I'm from NBC. And that's a camera. The guy just looks at the camera like a deer in a headlight.
I wasn't doing nothing, Mr. Ossifer. I was just here. I was just here to help the poor girl out. She was lonely and needed someone to turn the lights on for her.
The best is where the guys come in and they have like, you know, it's like, why do you have this six pack of wine coolers and this box of condoms? What were you planning on doing with that?
Oh, well, doesn't everybody carry around a six pack of wine coolers and a box of condoms? Heck, that's standard issue where I come from.
And then they always let him go. They go outside, and then some cop in a ghillie suit just jumps on.
As well they should. But tell me something. Maybe we'll have to do that. It gets off topic. But isn't that entrapment? How do they get away with that?
Well, that is an interesting thought. But basically, if they have kind of a proclivity to do that, then it's not entrapment. But I think that would be a good episode for maybe later. So.
Oh, and to talk about proclivity.
Proclivity, yes.
Proclivity of entrapment. That sounds like a title of a book.
Did I use the word proclivity?
Yeah. Didn't you say that?
That's a good word.
Where did I?
I didn't even realize I said that.
I heard it from somewhere, and you're the only other one in here.
Oh, so, yeah, but also some people have been getting in fist fights because if there's only one kind of Pokemon there, then they want to both try to catch it. And I guess it's a limited resource, so they, you know, Like, don't catch my Pokemon.
So grown men are coming to blows over Pokemans.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you were supposed to, they had fights for them or something like that, and you train them in a gym and things like that.
They have the I guess they're called gyms, and I don't really use the fighting part that much, because basically all you do is you just stand there and tap your screen as fast as you can. At least, maybe that's why I'm not very good at the fights, I don't know.
You're a mild-mannered Pokemon catcher.
Yeah, I just want to catch my Pokemon, look at my historical markers.
I want to live in peace with the Pokemon.
Yeah.
But people have actually been coming in into blows.
Yeah. Well, and actually hunting in general and chasing things reminded me of this one case from law school from property class. And it's one of the very first cases you actually learn about whenever you're learning about in property law. And it was a case of Pearson v. Post. And it's kind of funny. So this is like back in the early 1800s, late 1700s. There was a man named Lodowick Post, and he was...
his name was what?
Lodowick Post.
Lodowick.
Lodowick.
Lodowick?
Lodowick Post.
Lodowick Post.
It's a good name.
So that's what she said. Was this a nickname, or was this his actual name?
I think that's what people were named back then. So
they, what happened to the name? I have not met any Lodowicks in my years of living. I've never heard of a Lodowick.
Yeah, he maybe works at a candle factory.
That's probably where they got it. You know, hey, most names
that was my dad
came
joke.
From that.
That was my dad joke. Did you get that? Lodowick?
Lodowick, yeah.
Like, wick? It's,
buy these candles. They've got a lot of wick.
I'm not very good at dad jokes. So Lodowick Post was out with his squad. They were hunting.
He had a squad?
Yeah.
What squad do you belong to? Lodowick squad.
Squad goals. They were out hunting.
Hashtag squad goals.
They were out hunting hunting fox. And Lodowick and his squad were chasing the fox.
Do you mean chicks or the animal?
No, the animal.
Oh, I thought it was like, we are looking for foxes. We are two wild and crazy guys in our squad.
Saturday Night Live skit. Yeah, we are two wild and crazy guys.
We will be catching the foxes.
So they were out chasing the fox.
Chasing the fox.
The elusive
chasing
fox.
Chasing the dragon.
And I think that means something entirely different.
It just sounds cool.
It does sound cool. And that's why people like Pokemon, because you're out chasing the dragon, except the dragon is Pokemon.
Yeah, but it's hard to get...
I think some of the Pokemon are dragons. I don't have any of those ones yet. I'm trying to hatch some eggs.
Oh, they're all little cute things. You're trying to hatch eggs? Are you sitting on them now?
Yeah, I am, actually. I'm sitting on my phone. I'm incubating it.
An incubating egg.
I'm an elephant on an egg.
Okay, Horton.
And and so, what am I talking about? Oh, yeah, Pearson v. Post. So anyway, Lodowick Post was out hunting fox, and the fox got away from him a little bit. And this gentleman named Jesse Pearson intercepted the fox and killed it.
I wish that I had Jesse's fox.
I've been in love with Jesse's fox. I'm not a very good singer.
Is that where the song came from?
Yeah, probably. It's back in the day. So since back then they didn't have fun things to do, Lodowick Post decided to sue Jesse Pearson over this this fox problem.
So Lodowick was chasing it, and before he could catch it, this other guy, Jesse, came along, and he shot it.
And killed it and kept it.
And so then they had a dispute over, because Lodowick was chasing it, and Jesse shot it.
Exactly. And so...
he said, that's not fair!
That's my fox pelt.
It's my fox pelt. I was working very hard. I've been running for miles.
I think they're probably horseback. Is that how you fox hunt?
I don't know. I've never fox hunted. All I know is they say, tally-ho!
That's true, they do.
Tally-ho, there's a fox, tally-ho.
So
you don't use that word much anymore. Lodowick and tally-ho, they both have kind of faded out, haven't they?
They have. Tally-ho is a good word, though. We should bring that back.
Tally-ho. I don't know. I think if you said tally-ho too much, you might get beat up. I'm not sure.
In this day and age, you never know. People don't have any common sense these
days. So what did the court find?
Well, the lower court actually held for Lodowick Post that, yes, it was his fox because he was chasing it. But then, since they were very litigious individuals, evidently, It was appealed, and the appeals court said no, because Jesse Pearson had captured and possessed and made the fox his own, that it was actually his fox.
I, Lodowick, say I was engaged in pursuit in said fox, and it therefore was my property. I object. No, Your Honor. I, Jesse, shot the fox. Possession is 9/10 of the law, therefore it shall be mine. Overruled!
And what no one can see is that Tommy somehow actually produced a powdered wig and put that on as he was saying that. I don't know where it came from. It's
from my theater background. We carry a powdered wig at all times. You can never be too careful.
Yeah, it's a good thing to have. It came from my bag of props that I carry with me wherever I go.
You never know when you're going to need a Lodowick.
Well, I think that about wraps it up for our Pokemon episode.
So, well, then you know what that means it's time for.
It does.
Legal briefs. Briefs.
This is the part of the show where we talk about what we've talked about.
What we've learned.
We summarize it.
We have to have an educational portion to justify the silly portion.
Exactly. All right. So, Tommy.
Yes.
Cartilage.
It's not the stuff that's not in my knees. It's the area around your house or whatever, preferably fenced in, your cartilage area of your property.
Yeah, that's pretty much spot on.
Cartilage.
And spring guns? Just something you wear in Paris in the springtime?
That's right, and they're not fashionable after Labor Day. No, it is a weapon that is attached to a door or window that fires when the door or window is opened, set up basically just to protect your property.
Exactly. That's the key thing. It protects just the property and not the person.
See, I'm not just an attractive nuisance.
Which leads to my next topic, attractive nuisance.
Oh, attractive nuisance. That is something that draws you to an area because you might want to go see what it is, make curious, such as a pile of rocks, although I'm not sure why that is one. But if I'm ever asked, I'll say, a pile of rocks is an attractive nuisance.
Well, if you were a kid, don't you think like a rock quarry seems like a good place to go play?
No, I don't think so. You end up in the bottom of a rock quarry, just like in Stranger Things.
And then trespass in general. So there's two parts. There's the mental part, which is the mens rea, and then there's the actual physical part of doing it, the actus reus. And so,
but what we've learned from this is most of these Pokemon guys, they do not have the mens rea.
Well, unless
because they're out of their minds trying to catch these Pokemans. Did you know that we actually had two people from Canada chasing Pokemans and inadvertently crossed the border into the U.S. and were arrested for crossing the border? Now, that's a major trespass law to go across the border. Next thing you know, Donald Trump's going to be wanting to build a wall up there, too, to keep the Canadians from coming down here and getting our Pokemans.
Yeah, it's got to keep America great or make America great again. Keep our Pokemon here.
Keep our Pokemons here. It'll be huge.
Pokemon, great game. Love it. Best game ever.
Make Pokemon great again.
So, but anyway, with trespassing, if you see a sign, that means you shouldn't use your indestructible nose from your 68 Tempest to push the door open and go through and see what there is, because that means it's no trespassing means no trespassing.
I'm glad you've told me that. However, you're 42 years too late.
Well, I don't think I had the option of telling you 42 years ago.
Well, time traveling me will go back and warn me at then before young me not to do that. Although it ended up all right, so I guess I don't have to worry about it. Could you imagine nowadays if you wandered onto? Never mind. I'm going down a rabbit hole here. Sorry, I got sidetracked. We were wrapping it up, weren't we, Mike?
We're working on the wrap.
Oh, sorry.
And then lastly, fox hunting in general.
Fox hunting, tally ho! That's what we've learned. Tally ho! If someone shoots the fox before you, it's too bad. They get the fox. And we're talking about the animals, not girls.
Well, everybody, thanks for listening to Court Appointed. This has been our first episode. Thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Dr. Lawyer Indian Chief.
And we want to also say thanks to the McElroy Podcast for their assistance in getting our podcast up and running. These podcasts include My Brother and Me, Sawbones, Still Buffering, which we have each guested on as Scampy Mike and Low Country Tom, and some of their other fine offerings, such as Schmanners, Rose Buddies, and Bunker Buddies. And if you would, please take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us.
Yeah, and maybe not so much if you didn't like us. Maybe. I don't know. Can I say that?
I don't think you're supposed to say that. It's supposed to be fair and impartial, counselor.
We'll cut that later.
Okay.
And as we said previously, we want to make this kind of a legal interactive show to educate and entertain. So if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us on our Facebook group page, Court Appointed. We're also going to be setting up a Twitter page and an email address, too, which we'll link on our Facebook Court Appointed page and also mention it in our next podcast.
So everybody, we want to know what burning questions you have about the law, and we will do our best to inform you and make it funny.
Exactly. So thanks for listening. That's been Court Appointed. I'm Michael Meadows, a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm Tommy Smurl. I am just a dude.
Thanks.